Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study. We're out here in Grace Ranch, and we have all four of us ladies here together tonight. And so I'll introduce everyone, and we have Robin.
Good evening, everyone.
And we have Anne.
Hi, hello.
And Megan.
Hello.
And me, Karen. Hello, all.
Karen E. Hocker.
Yes. And we are going to be looking at Romans chapter 14 this evening.
Would you like to read the first two verses there, Karen?
I will. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs.
Go ahead and read three.
Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him.
Okay. So, you know, Paul just finished a discourse on obedience to those whom God has put over us, the higher powers set by God in his kingdom in 13. And now a higher power is ministering to the Romans. And then they had, Jews that came in and they brought the law. And today we don't have Jews that bring in the law, but we have legalists. And by nature, we all tend to want to have something we can say we did.
We want a checklist.
Yes.
That is right, yeah. But there's certainly people that come, and that's what they seek to do, take away the freedom that is in Christ. And because there's nothing in our flesh we can do that is of God. It's all in the Spirit. And in that place, we're free from the bondages of this world. So he's going in now. He says in verse 1 there that, you know, somebody that comes in and is weak in the faith, to receive them. And not to argue about the faith, but you receive them. They're weak. And so you give them space to get unweak, I guess is the way I put it. And doubtful disputations are just things that really serve the purpose of bringing doubt. They're argumentative. They're defensive on both sides. And don't do that.
I remember Davy saying, "If you have to, you never argue about the word. You never. You just point a person back to the word, but you never argue about it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't get into a debate.
No.
Yeah.
Because the word doesn't need to be defended.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. And also that it's a sign of your own unbelief and the need to convince yourself.
Exactly. And when you're arguing with someone about the word, then you're that shows that you don't believe it yourself. You're trying to convince yourself that this is the way it is.
Yeah. And then he goes on, and here one of the big things in the Jewish religion, which we still all know, is they didn't eat pork. They had distinct dietary laws, and but there's many today. It might not be pork, although it could be. You know, I mean, there's a variety of things people now put there. Faith in organic foods is one of the great ones, or they can't eat this, but they can eat that because this is bad for you. Stuff like that.
And also it says eateth herbs. That's more like the vegetarian or vegan.
Yes, that is a good point. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another, now here's the distinction, who is weak, doesn't have the faith to stand in that, know that that which the Lord has provided and which you've asked thanks for, that his blessing upon it is not sufficient. So Edith Herbs, as Anne pointed out, would mean he was a vegetarian of some sort. And then in verse 3 is important because he says, you know, those of us sitting around the table, and we know that we can eat all things. So we can, but we don't despise. And I looked at that word. It's interesting. Contemptible, despised, least esteemed, set at naught. It's not a put down when somebody comes in and has not come to the place where they know that it's okay. So you don't think ill of them. You don't think you're better than them, but you also don't set them at naught. And that's a big one. Because to set at naught is to turn them away. So that's something that you don't want to do. But so the commandment to the one who has the faith is to not just despise him that doesn't. But to the one that doesn't, you see, it says, let him not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. And the interesting thing about that, and recognizing that Paul is writing this to a people, some who are strong in the faith and some who are weak in the faith, the judgment, the commandment not to judge is on him that is weak in the faith. And for God hath received him, he's talking about the one strong in the faith. And the one strong in the faith is received, but he doesn't say anything one way or the other about the one weak in the faith being received by God. So, picking up, because we're in the perfect place, unless you all wanted to add something for you to pick up on verse 4.
Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
Okay, stop there for a minute. So this again is speaking to, really to all, because there's elements of this that we all battle against. But once again, the one who judges, which is an element of weak in the faith, not strong in the faith, who are you? They're not your servant, they're God's servants. And to God or to his own master, he stands or falls. But the beautiful thing here, that is something that is true, is that he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. And that's the beauty of the faith that we walk in and press to go after in its entirety, is because we believe God. Because we fall short. And there are times I know in my own life I can get to a certain place, and yet right when I would fail in the faith, is the Lord holds you up. He doesn't leave you to do that and just fall by the wayside. I mean, that's the truth of it. And it's, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. That's a true statement. And this is talking about, you know, a person in the faith, a person who battles, a person who stands, a person whose choice is the gospel and to trust in its complete sufficiency. They're still people, but God shall hold them up, he shall make them stand. So, go ahead.
The other thing about judgment is judgment comes down from the greater to the lesser in the Lord. It doesn't go from the lesser to the greater.
That is true. There is judgments that can come that are not of God, even from
yes.
But you're absolutely right, and it's important to recognize, because I take that back, Megan, because you're absolutely right. You're over your children. They have no place to judge you. But you're under Steve, and right. You have no place to judge him.
No.
Steve is under Davy, and he has no place to judge Davy. So you're absolutely right. I apologize. I was wrong. You're right. Right? Right. Was that clear?
And,
okay.
Where it says to his own master, he standeth or falleth.
Yeah.
And it's coming after that chapter when we're talking about authorities in the Lord.
It's also going back here to verse 3 about those who have a weaker faith, not judging those who have a greater faith, who are
right,
more rightly faithed, if you will.
I know, I mean, this one is speaking very specific things and things that Paul was dealing with. But I know that if you can exercise yourself to not judge that which is spoken to you, and that's one thing. And let the Lord show you it, why it was spoken to you. But the other thing is, it is easy to want to judge the speaker to you, the one that ministers that word of God, and find fault because for some reason, I guess we think it makes us not so faulty. And it's really not a matter of being faulty because we all are faulty. I mean, that's just stupid. It's a matter of how can we be perfected in the faith if a light isn't shown on the things that aren't of faith? I mean, it's really that simple, and we don't know them. I mean, we are blind to them. We don't know them. Sometimes we might, some big things, but mostly we don't know things until it's shown to us. And that's the love of God. That's not the judgment of God. And he brings it through men or women, but through people, his servants. And you can't receive it if you're going to judge them and consider that they don't know what they're talking about. And so this chapter for the Romans and for us needs to be received in that same exact manner.
Mm-hmm. You know, verse 4 is a verse that I bring up with my children, so I think about it some. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? If you've been given something to do, pointing to someone else who isn't doing what they were told is none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
It does not relate to you. You've got to make sure you are doing what you have been given to do.
That's right.
And if another person does it or doesn't do it, so be it. You're going to stand before the Lord. You're going to, what does it say, to his own master, he's being the Lord at the end of the day, he standeth or falleth. You're not going to be able to stand and point a finger as a reason why you didn't have to do what you were told.
Well, even when they stand before you or Steve in that disobedience, what their brother or sister did doesn't change what they did. That's the thing. What they did is what they did.
And it's their choice, what they did.
It's a good,
good example.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it applies to us irrespective of who we are.
Absolutely.
It applies to each and every one of us.
The example you gave was very distinct because you might have told your children to put their laundry away, and one of them is pointing out while he's not or she's not doing it that so-and-so isn't either. That's one thing, but I know what's also common is we assume we know things. That's, you can see. But the assumption of what a person should or shouldn't do or what they've been told, commanded to do or not to do, unless you were present, and it's still not in your ballpark. It's in the one who they're answerable to. And I think if we all looked at ourselves and saw what we've been told to do and look at how well we've done it, we might shut up a little more about what somebody else has failed at, because it takes a force of will and recognition of the importance of obedience to actually walk in it. And if you try to, you find out how disobedient you are. So it's kind of funny how that works. You're talking about young children that haven't come to some things as far as thought and understanding, but they also have, you know, and you're giving them that foundation.
Well, the other thing, verse 4 refers back to chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of standing before your master, if you will. And these first three verses are, in a way, an example of, like our example of the children. This is him showing an example. It's like carrying on from chapter 13.
Well, and really it struck me that I think it would be wise for us to go back and read personally, us and people listening, Romans 14, because Paul lays the whole thing out. He lays salvation out. He lays the God's line of authority out. He lays this stuff out, and it's a very foundational book, but the thing I find that it's easy to know a thing, and it's another thing to take it seriously, even if you think you do, to really know that, oh my God, you know, the Apostle Paul is saying that this is what I need to do. I need to do it. it's natural to be lax and just satisfied with knowledge and not the doing of it. And we have to get where we're not, because it's in the accountability part where we know it, therefore we best be doing it, that fear of God strengthens us to choose it. Because much of it's unnatural. Maybe all of it is, but some of it's harder for us individuals. Different things are more difficult for us, like judgment. Maybe that's one person's difficulty and not as hard for another, but something else is hard for that other. I mean, it's not like they're without difficulty.
Yeah.
But you have to see it as of the highest importance. He didn't say, you know, if you can do it, judge not. He says, don't. Don't do it. So that would be a wife to a husband, a child, children to parents, and all of us to those who have the rule over us that transcends that. Davey and Steve would be two that have the rule over all in this ministry. In different ways. And then others have rule over portions of people in the ministry, like South Carolina. There's a headship there that doesn't transfer to Texas.
But they are still under the authority of Davey.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, Megan, verse 5.
One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks.
Okay, so just stop right there. You know, here you see people who are doing that which they're doing, whether it's eating or not eating, whether they're regarding a day as special and someone else doesn't regard any day as special. In our culture, there are things like Easter Sunday, which is really not what it is, but that's what it is called. There's Christmas. Those are two common Christian holidays, some in this ministry, and in the world, regard all days as Christmas and Easter in the sense that God gave the gift of his son and his son gave his life for us, you know. But others actually do celebrate those, and it's not, but they do it before the Lord, and the same with eating, and they give thanks. And here you see it's not a, well, I mean, it's where they're at, they do it in thanks to the Lord. And there's something to that, whether they're weak in the faith or strong in the faith. And almost all of us, I couldn't speak for everybody. Certainly everybody's had things to learn in Christ, but most of us started in a weak position, but those who were strong extended grace. They weren't moved. They didn't come to us, but in the sense of joining with us in our fears and our unbelief, but they didn't reject us. And so that space of time of hearing the word, learning the word, and also an accountability to, as we could see that, brought a different faith, freedom in that faith. But we didn't start out with that. I mean, we've learned it, and we've learned it through the patience and the lack of what is it, doubtful disputations or being despised by the other.
Yeah.
And this is important because it's easy to begrudge people the grace that is needed for them to come to places to see things. I know I have needed that grace, and I can look and see other people need that grace, but you know, their life is worth it. Their salvation is worth it.
I think as you start judging someone who is weaker in the faith, then they could reach a point where they walk away from the Lord because they think, I can't get it right, or I'll never do this the way they want me to do it.
They give up.
They just give up. And that's on us if we do that, that they've walked away from Jesus.
And you stop and think the person who's strong in the faith to really to judge another and despise him like that. Well, the despising is on the person strong in the faith. There's an element of thinking that you're where you are in Christ by your own ability. Mm-hmm. We read in verse 4 where he shall be holding up. Not that he's so strong, he doesn't need it. And why? Because God's able. It's God who does this work, not us. So where is the accolade to us? And how can we then judge another where we haven't yet to see God do it? Or how can someone judge us in places that maybe we haven't stood yet, haven't come to that, you know? And this is the kind of thing.
You can have faith, but there could be areas where you're weak in that faith and others where you're strong in that faith. And we have to be conscious of that, not to judge our brothers and sisters who may have an area that they're still weak in.
And where we're strong, and vice versa then.
Yeah.
That's the thing. This is more distinct in strong and weak. It's very distinct, because Paul battled faithfully and successfully to not be moved off the gospel and the gospel alone. He was completely aware that any element of keeping the law fell from grace. And so he made a stand that would in no way compromise that truth. And he did. But in the midst of that stand, he didn't reject people. He gave them every opportunity to come to the knowledge of that truth also. That didn't mean he didn't correct it. Didn't mean he didn't chasten in it. Didn't mean that there was judgments that were brought. But those were of the Lord through Paul, and he obviously was enormously full of grace towards those who stoned him to death. You know, all that went on, he was gracious, and certainly to believers who were struggling between that, God, can't do this, you got to be circumcised, and it doesn't profit you anything. It doesn't profit you anything, but he didn't reject him. He gave him the opportunity to come to know that. Right? Are you laughing at me?
No. Laughing at the dog's howling. Yeah. There's a lot of outside noise.
There were roosters crying a few minutes ago.
And he allowed the Lord to work on them that way. And it doesn't push people away, because really when you get into that doubtful disputation thing, people just walk away.
You know, it's interesting because it is the Lord's work.
Yes.
And to be able to bring that truth, leave it on the table.
Yes.
And let the Lord do the work.
Amen.
Is the thing. You might have to bring it. You might have to come and be on the table again. You know, it becomes the thing that the person has to, at some point, choose to eat.
Yep.
It might take a long time. But it's the Lord that accomplishes opening their eyes and understanding, giving them ears to hear. And I would say this, too. Once your ears have been opened to hear something, you can make a choice to open your ears.
Yes.
Too. Until that happens, the way to get that to happen for you is to choose to walk in obedience and to not allow yourself to judge. And the fruit will be that you'll see the fruit of that obedience, even if you struggle with it and are not joined with it perfectly. It'll come. It'll come.
I think the end of verse 5, there is a very important thing. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. It comes back once again that your eyes are on the Lord and you're going to stand before Him. And so the decisions you make, the days you esteem, the things you eat, your life needs to be in open to the Lord for Him to correct you or not, you know? And
because you're fully persuaded, that's between you and the Lord. You don't then impose your persuasion upon another.
Yes, and also your being fully persuaded also allows for you to be persuaded by the Word.
Mm-hmm.
When someone brings you the Word that is contrary to your persuasion, if you will, to be open to hear it is an important part of being fully persuaded. Is you're persuaded in something when you have the facts and you make a decision. So when you're brought a truth that is contrary to something you had thought before, you are given the opportunity to make your choice and choose where you're standing in your being persuaded in it.
I know that that can be a very difficult thing oftentimes for people to receive the knowledge that which they were pretty secure in wasn't right. And, you know, I mean, there's some passings in Christ that can be difficult. I mean, I don't know if anybody can be exempt from that if they're going to learn God's ways in place of their own ways. And I look at it like it really, you know, you come and you got all your own ways. Because you're talking straight scripture, really. I know that when you came to this ministry, there were certain scriptures that just didn't make sense. I didn't know the scripture when I accepted the Lord, so I didn't have any questions in that context. I certainly didn't understand all that Davy ministered. Or like I'd watch him, we hear it, he'll say, you know, he'll do things that people are like, how could you do that? And I remember watching, I never thought he's wrong, but I also didn't understand what he was doing. I didn't think he was wrong, I just didn't get it. And I, you know, I mean, I couldn't do it. There's still things I sit there and think, oh my God, I couldn't do that. But on the other hand,
but you're not meant to do that.
I was going to say that which God is calling me to do, that I can do, and that's mm-hmm. what I had to go after. I learned from Him, and there's a place for stuff, but I'm not Him, and actually the position He's in is not my position. But certainly much of what He does is there for us to learn from, that because they're God's ways, and God wants His people to learn His ways, but they don't meld with our ways. Our ways have to bite the dust and His ways replace them. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to come to see sometimes the contrariness with what we've always thought so that we can choose, like you were saying, make that choice to say, okay, crap, but amen, Lord, and go after it.
That goes back to whose faith follow from Hebrews 13, which we read last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those who spoke unto the word of God, whose faith follow. That's what you're talking about.
So, Karen, if you would pick up on verse 7.
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living.
Okay. I don't live unto myself, I live unto the Lord. I mean, that is life. You don't live unto yourself. You live unto the Lord. You have His life. And the same thing in our death. You know, whether when we're alive on this earth, and in the day we depart. It's all in the Lord. And we are the Lord's in both of those things. And in verse 9, you see that that's the whole reason why he did it, is for that opportunity for us to be. And that's one of faith, not of works. And hence, we seek to not go after the things that make us look good, but rather go after those things that are of God, that are good.
Amen.
Do you have anything further? Because we read a bunch of verses there.
No.
Karen or Megan? Do you want to start 10 there, Megan?
But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Okay, you can stop there. So, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught thy brother? And that goes back, it's really speaking, well, that's the one of the person of faith. Why do you set him at naught? That was one of the definitions in despise.
Yeah.
To set at naught.
When you look up naught, despise is in there, too.
It's contempt-
it goes back.
It's contemptible, despise, at least it seemed, and set at naught.
Yeah, and that's the exact same. So it's the same word as the one, despise. So here he's ministering to whatever side of the fence you are on here, if you want to call it a fence. Why do you do this? We're all going to stand before the Lord. If you think about that simple fact and how, and the knowledge we're going to have of our smallness and in the smallness of our stand for him, how in the world can we look at another person and judge them and think ill? And we got enough with ourselves as to me, you know. Sure, I've learned some things others haven't learned. That's true. I'm a lot older than most people, so I've had a heck of a lot of time.
I hope we learned something.
Yeah, I mean, praise God, I learned something. But, you know, I say that and there's truth to it, but putting joking aside, doesn't matter whether I can relate to a person or not relate to them. I had my own particular brand of sin. I have my own particular brand of sin. Another has another. God could deliver me. Guess what he can do for them? Don't undermine that hope. We're all going to stand before the Lord and give account, and I know that that accounting is really going to be, did we believe? And to learn to walk in the faith that God, that all of his promises are true, and we believe him to perform them for us because we cannot do it. We're going to be able to, that's the only way we're going to be able to have a good report in that day. I know when Paul, in the last letter to the second letter, Timothy said, you know, he had fought a good fight. Mm-hmm. He had kept the faith. He was ready to be offered. Henceforth, he would receive a crown. He knew he had done that. He had really fought. Not only as a representative of God, but for the sake of those people, everyone, people that hated him. I mean, talk about a man that was despised and rejected. I know Christ was more so. He was put on a cross, but Paul was just a man. He was just a man, just like we're just people, with all the same feelings and needs and emotions, not as women, but I mean, he was just a person who had this, had responses, but he chose a stand that was in obedience just to what he's sharing with us, and he walked out that obedience.
The thing is, he made that stand disregarding everything he had been raised to believe.
Yeah.
And all of us have, in some way or another, had things we believed that turned out not to be true. And we have to take a stand against those. We don't, they mean nothing in God.
He had to die to himself because he had been a person seeking to destroy God's people. So, you know, there he stood before the Lord, finds out everything he thought was so right, not a one of it was, and he was zealous in that. Mm-hmm. And yet then take that same zeal and in humility, recognizing who he was, still having a flesh he had to put off because he was a man. That's why he said, you know, he sought the Lord thrice about a sin, and the Lord said, nah, my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. And he then said, you know, he gloried in his infirmities, not his sickness, but in the fact that in his flesh he was weak and frail, and so that his whole entire hope and stand was on Christ and Christ alone, who was not weak, or is not weak, is not frail, and is well able to be the God he has told us he is in the scripture. And Paul did it, and he knew in the end. He knew he had, you know. I mean, the Lord, he was aware that he had ministered the gospel, the only true salvation, rightly. That's a testimony to go after. And this is how we do it.
Every person's going to bow before the Lord and confess that Jesus is Lord. Every single person who has ever or will ever live will do that and be judged by the Lord at that time. By golly, you want to get it right so that, you know, your faith is in him and not in yourself, which is really, it's, you either trust him or you trust your own works. And if you have any sense, you know that your own works will not be acceptable. And yeah,
that if you have any sense,
it's going to be black and white, no shades of gray.
But it is the blood of the Lamb,
yes,
that is over the doorposts and lintels of our heart. That is the only deciding factor.
Yes, it is.
Not that I'm better or you're better or I'm worse and. Or you're worse, or anything. It's all the blood. That's the thing that's going to allow us to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And our faith in that. But our faith in that is proven by if we walk in it through obedience and through, and really obedience. You know, we're walking in a different kingdom than in a worldly kingdom. But we're representatives of that kingdom, and we walk as members and citizens of the kingdom of God in a world that doesn't recognize that citizenship, and is its ways are contrary to God's ways. But we need to know our citizenship and not worry about the fact that the citizens of this world don't get it and might hate us, because why wouldn't they? And that's where we were. Maybe we weren't confronted with that truth about ourselves. But until you know Christ, you're in the kingdom of this world, and the kingdom of this world is at enmity with God. And he, in his wisdom, has left us encased in flesh that is still a partaker of the kingdom, so that we have to, by choice, learn a new way. I mean, that's despite that, where he really set up a salvation that delivers us from all that could keep us from him here or kick us out, separate us from him there. And,
you know, and Megan brought up how every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. After the 9/11 attack, Davey said to me that, can you imagine these men who got on that plane for Allah and killed all these people, when they came, then they all of a sudden appeared before Jesus, the one that they had ridiculed, the one that they'd been trying to destroy his people. And just imagine what that was like. I can't. But
it's
everyone will stand before him, and it doesn't matter what you believed or how strong you were in that belief. If it wasn't for if you didn't believe Jesus, that is going to be a worse than sad day. Because then you know the truth at that moment.
You just gave the definition of the person strong in the faith because, you see, they believed God, therefore that's why God had accepted them. Mm-hmm. The person weak in the faith has yet to. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying that, but you don't want to stay there. You want to exercise yourself in the things of the Lord that you might grow strong in the faith. Because the things that war against us, hold on a second, we're quieting down the crowds.
The peanut gallery,
there you go. But you defined it. I mean, you could say you believe in Christ. Well, that's John 3:16. He that, hold on a second. You think I know it because I do, but I don't seem to be able to say it right now. It is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's that thing, you know. You can say you believe in him. You shouldn't perish, but what does it take not to perish?
You walk in him. You don't just say the words. You walk in him. You believe what he says, and you do it. You can say the words all day long, but if you don't believe it in your heart, and the evidence of that is because then you will try and do your best to walk as Jesus walked.
One of the, as we were talking about this, I was thinking about those who take his name in vain. And I remember people would pray, Lord, please bless my, basically, plans. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, that's not someone who's walking in his ways. That's someone who's attaching Jesus to their life to give him credit or to win brownie points or whatever it is. As opposed to, Lord, what can I do for you today? Please direct me to accomplish your will today.
It's not wrong to make plans, though. And that, hey, Lord, I'd really like to do this, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
And then you trust him to show you whether that is the right way to go, or if he puts up stumbling blocks or a roadblock.
Yeah.
And you can say, okay, Lord, I see that wasn't in your will. But you know, it's not wrong to make, you know,
plans.
Desires or whatever. You know, Lord, I'd like this big motorhome, or I'd like a new house, or I'd like a better job, or
to know what you see as your tasks of the day. You need to go forward with, because you know some things, mm-hmm. but you have to, that's not the rule is what you're talking about, I believe. It's not the rule of your day. The rule of your day is your faith in Christ to direct your path and to accomplish his will. No matter what, that which you have on your plate, and rightly so, is accomplished in the sense that you
think.
Thank you. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with planning, hoping, desiring, but they're subject to the Lord, and you trust him, so it doesn't matter.
You say, thank you, Lord, for showing me.
Yeah.
Whether it was the right or the wrong thing, I trust you to show me.
Well, I know Stephen Megan, maybe twice, but once I know kind of really Steve began to shrink the law office because he thought he needed to move out here. And as it was, he stayed for a matter of years further, has since done the same thing and moved, even though like all the ducks didn't fall into the row as one might think has to happen. And it wasn't that he was in any form of disobedience. He was doing that which he saw, and the Lord changed his direction. Now, why that happened, who knows? It could have been that's exactly how the Lord was leading him, and then somebody came whom was worthy of staying for? Or could it just been that it was God hadn't necessarily, I mean, who knows?
Or it could have been something the Lord was showing him, that this is the future. This is what's going to happen in the future. And he took it as being now.
Yeah. I mean.
And we're all guilty of that. It wasn't just Steve. We all do stuff like that.
Yeah. But the thing is it didn't matter. Then he just picked back up and went forward. And this time he picked up and came out of here. But you can't be hung up about it. And, I mean, I know as a woman, I think I'm fairly normal. It's so easy to get hung up about stuff. And it's all vanity and pride. We have to know.
Where our ways are not his ways.
We just have to know that he is able, and we don't let go of that knowledge, despite all the evidence of our incapability that can slam in our face at times, like constantly or whatever. The truth is what we're reading now, and the truth is Jesus Christ, and the truth is his promises. It's up to us to choose to believe him, period. And then there's no place for judgment, disagreement, really, all the things he warns us against, there's no place for it. So, picking up 13 there, Miss Karen.
Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
Okay, stop right there. That's something to think about. Let's not judge one another anymore.
Amen.
But rather judge this, that you don't put a stumbling block. It's something to think about, isn't it? We don't want to.
And when we do judge someone, we can put a stumbling block. If they're not strong, we can put a stumbling block in their way, and they'll fall away.
Well, and you stop and think that you can judge somebody in your heart at some point. If you join with that judgment, you're going to judge somebody openly to another, to that person, or whatever. And I know from observation, from experience, that, you know, there's a difference between bringing the word, a sharp word, and being hung up about the fact that somebody doesn't do things like you do, or is struggling through something, or things like that. And you don't go ahead of the Lord, and you don't judge a person for where they're at right now. You know, this is a moment in time, and it's the end of our conversation that we are exhorting one another towards. The end of our conversation is right now. I mean, we each have a responsibility, a choice of that knowledge that God is well able to perform that which he has promised. I believe him for it and walk in that faith, and that his blood is sufficient for all of this, sitting right here in Grace Ranch. You know, speaking, I'm pointing to myself, not to any others, but
you might as well point to others. I mean,
the thing is, but to think that a person doesn't have things they have to go through and struggles, growing pains, and judge ahead of the time and consider them something that they're not. It's just, I mean, you don't know yourself, I guess is what I would say. Almost. I don't know what else to say. You don't know yourself very well. Because, gosh, if any of us, and we do it to ourselves, we're judged on a moment in time, what hope is there in that? But there is a hope, and we are all the beneficiaries of that hope and those who have stood in it for us. And as we have come to that faith, stood in it for ourselves, right? That's what we're looking to grow stronger and stronger in, and minister to another, even as it has been ministered to us, which is why we're all sitting here. That's why we're all sitting here. No other reason.
The other side of this is, let us therefore not judge one another, but not put a stumbling block in front of a brother. There's judgment. This is not going to be right. You choose, instead of standing lording over somebody, you choose love. To not put a stumbling block onto someone is to actually take time to think about them and what's good for them, rather than the place they're currently finding themselves in and perhaps the place that you aren't in at that moment. Maybe you don't have the same issue right that moment or whatever, you know? But it's putting aside, pointing a finger and instead giving out love and looking to another instead of yourself.
And that, I want to make clear, isn't that there aren't times for correction.
Oh, gosh. No.
Times for rebuke, times for different things, but they're never done to put a person down. They're done to give them, to cause them to grab a hold of the truth and to go with it instead of the place they find themselves. But there's also a lot of times for just grace. You know, I think Karen and I were talking earlier. You know, it's interesting watching Davey minister, because he lobs the things out to people, is how I put it. He brings that word of God. And he does it to me, but I see him do it to others. He's done it to me. It's clear when you're looking at someone else. When it's you, you're like, what's happening here, you know, oftentimes or sometimes. But then he just stands back, because, see, the work isn't his, the work isn't mine, the work isn't yours, the work is the Lord's. And we talked about that tonight, and it's on that table. How many times did the Lord put this on the table for me? And, you know, 30 years later, Robin said, that looks good. Maybe it would be good for me. I don't know, you know. But all that time, a stumbling block wasn't put in my way, a stumbling block of rejection, of judgment, of how can I be so stupid? Well, I asked myself that, but I think the answer is I can be. I don't know what other answer, but it doesn't matter. And so it's a beautiful thing to watch that space of time and that faith in Christ, you know, that no man cometh unto the Father, unto Christ, unless the Father draw him, and allowing God that time to work. And I know that there are things that take time. Every one of us has that testimony, if we've come through things, that it wasn't necessarily, oh yeah, you know, there's time. There's time of coming into the new way. It takes time, and it takes grace for extended to yourself and others extending to you and vice versa to be able to pass through.
And you made a point there. We have to extend grace to ourselves.
Yeah.
We extend it. We're supposed to extend it to everybody else, but we got to extend it to ourselves, too.
Absolutely.
Because we could put our own stumbling block up.
Well, I think, I think that's probably one of the things we do the most, some of us. But when Paul was exhorting Timothy and instructing Timothy in 2 Timothy, here Timothy was young. The people he was now going to be the apostle over, a lot of them were older, wouldn't have a natural respect for him. And Timothy was a man. It's not like he was going to, oh, how holy is Timothy, perfect and righteous. And, you know, I mean, people, we don't see people that way. And people aren't that way in their natural man. And Paul said, you be strong in the grace.
Amen.
And that was he had to stand knowing that God's grace was sufficient so that he could stand against the judgment and the lack of obedience and recognition of who and what he was and the stuff we read in Romans 13. He was going to have to be able to stand. The only way he could do that is to be strong in the grace, because you can tear yourself up down easy as pie. That's not of God. Learn, repent, but that's that simple, and we got to go on and learn that new way and not get all hung up about, you know, what we've done in the past. And you see Paul give testimony to having to do that himself, forgetting those things that are behind.
Yeah, I think this is probably a good place to stop. We've only got a couple minutes left.
Okay, and we're stopping at 13 and pick up on 14. Thank you, Ian. So do you all have anything to say before we say goodnight?
No.
Nothing to add.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.